praise be Jesus and Mary. In all of the dioceses of the U.S., in the U.S. today, it's observed a day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children. As the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website indicates on their liturgical calendar. And there are even proper prayers in the Roman Missal for today's liturgical celebration. This is the Church's response to what happened on this day 45 years ago in our country, January 22, 1973, when the U.S. Supreme Court legalized infanticide, giving pregnant mothers the right to murder their unborn children. Liturgically, we wear purple as a sign of penance for the violations to the dignity of the human person committed through acts of abortion, violence not only to the dignity of the unborn child, but also to the dignity of the mother who had the abortion and to the father of the child as well. Regarding abortion, there are essentially two theological doctrines at the heart of the Church's teaching on this subject. The first one is the intrinsic dignity of the human person, and the second is the sacredness of human sexuality. And when we say intrinsic dignity, what that means is that human beings have dignity in and of themselves, whether or not the state or another group or governing body recognizes that dignity or not. Anyone who knows the Church's social teachings knows that the dignity of the human person is at the centerpiece of all Catholic social doctrine. We, the people, have dignity and intrinsic worth because we are created in the image and likeness of God, as the book of Genesis tells us. And the truth of the dignity, the intrinsic dignity of the human person is even recognized in the opening lines of our Declaration of Independence, where we read this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So Scripture and even the Declaration of Independence are in agreement in affirming the sacredness of human life. That word sacred, of course, means set apart or consecrated, whereas its opposite, profane, classically referred to everything that was outside of the temple, so everything that wasn't holy, or simply, for us, it means everything that's meant for common use, not for sacred use. Human beings aren't profane, they are sacred, because they're the only creature on earth that God has created for himself. God created every animal, fish, bird, and every other object on earth for man's use, but he created man, he created us, for himself, so that we could live eternally with him in heaven. And of course, abortion, being the direct killing of an innocent human being, not only seriously offends the dignity of the human person, but it's also a sin against the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And it's the first of the four sins which cry out to God for vengeance. So abortion is evil, firstly, because it violates that sacredness and that dignity of human life. Secondly, abortion is also the logical consequence of the violation of another theological principle, and that is the sacredness of human sexuality. We said that man is sacred because he's created in God's image and because he's set apart from the rest of creation. God created and set apart man, set apart woman, for himself. Similarly, human sexuality is sacred because it too is set apart. That is, it is intended only to be used in the stable bond of marriage between a man and a woman. Any type of sexual activity outside of that bond of marriage becomes profaned. That means that sexuality becomes desacralized when it's indulged in outside of marriage. And when you desacralize sexuality, well, that leads to contraception, infidelity, other types of perversity and immoral sexual activities, broken hearts, broken families, and yes, even infanticide, the killing of innocent children. A man reaps what he sows, St. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And sex outside of marriage, which gives a momentary pleasure and a momentary sense of love, in the end really leads to death and destruction. as we in our country have experienced firsthand over these last 50 or 60 years. On this note, the book of Proverbs says in two different places this. It says, there's a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it is the way of death. That's Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. For those who engage in sex outside of marriage, especially for young people, it usually, again, seems right and good to them at the time, but it ruins their relationship with God and sets a pattern for unhealthy and unstable relationships that carries on into their adult life, and yes, at times even leads again to the sacrifice of innocent babies conceived in their mother's wombs, and it will lead in the very near future to the murder of babies and young people already born. The murder of children who are already born is already being advocated by secular philosophers in the most prestigious universities of this country. But of course, this is nothing new. Infanticide and the exposure of newborns who are unwanted by their parents to the elements of nature was already a common practice in the ancient Greek and Roman civilizations before Christianity took hold of the culture and abolished this cruel activity. So I mentioned that human sexuality is sacred because it is meant to be used only in the bonds of marriage. Human sexuality is sacred also for another reason as well, because it's a reflection of the love which exists in the Trinity itself. The procreative love which exists in the human family is a reflection, albeit a very imperfect reflection, of the love of God in the Blessed Trinity. God the Father loves God the Son from all eternity, and the fruit of their mutual love is another person, God the Holy Spirit. So in a certain sense, the Holy Spirit is the offspring of the love of the Father and the Son. So also in the human family, the love of a husband for his wife brings forth another child, another person. A person, a child, is the offspring of the fruit of the love between a man and a woman in marriage. So in that sense, there is a certain similarity between the love that exists between the three persons of the Blessed Trinity and the love which exists in the human family. As you can read, even in the Catechism of the Catholic Church says this, number 2205. Abortion is the negation of that love which exists in the Blessed Trinity and which God intended for us to have and to experience in our lives and in our families as well. So I just want to conclude by saying that yes, it is a beautiful and necessary gesture that we as Catholics pray for the legal protection of unborn children. But if we pray for the legal protection of unborn children on the one hand, and continue to vote for pro-abortion politicians on the other hand, we're truly hypocrites. You can't liturgically celebrate a day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children and then politically go out and cast votes for candidates who are pro-choice and therefore support the destruction of human life. And I'm personally convinced that when there are two candidates on a given ballot, and one of the candidates is pro-life and one of them is pro-choice, that it's a mortal sin to vote for the pro-choice or pro-abortion candidate. It's a mortal sin because the legal protection of the innocent human life in the mother's womb is more important than any other social or economic issue. And how many mortal sins have we, as Catholics, committed on the ballot boxes these four decades since Roe versus Wade? It's truly unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. Millions and millions. If we don't work to legally protect human life from the moment of its conception, then those whose minds and hearts are already darkened by sin will continue to devalue human life, perhaps to the point where anyone who professes to be a Christian will no longer be considered a person in the United States, as happened, for example, in Nazi Germany when Jews were not considered persons, or when black people in the United States at a certain point in time were not considered real persons. And perhaps the Christians in this case will be subject to state-sponsored persecutions, to fines, imprisonments, and even to horrific public deaths, just like it was at the time of the Roman Empire before Constantine's arrival in the 4th century. So yes, let's continue to pray for the unborn and for their parents. And as Catholics, let's start to vote for pro-life politicians. Otherwise, we'll have to answer to God for the persons that we put into public office and for the babies that are sacrificed in our country every day of the year. And may Our Lady enlighten us with God's grace on this subject. Praise be Jesus and Mary.